Ephesians chapter 6 again in your Bibles, Ephesians 6. We'll read a couple of verses and pray together, Ephesians chapter 6. So many things so far this summer the Lord's laid on my heart we've shared. And this is a continuation of that before we begin our series. Ephesians 6, look at verse 23. Paul closes this wonderful book by saying, "Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This love, of course, is connected with faith, meaning truth. "Grace be with all them that love," here's the word love again, "that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night, this time, this opportunity, your local church, your people, but mostly your word and your presence. And we ask, Lord, with all of our hearts, that you'll speak to us, strengthen us, encourage us, teach us the truth. May distractions be cast aside and all sins, may there be nothing between us and our Savior at this moment when we need to hear the Spirit of God. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look again, verse 24. There's an interesting statement Paul makes in his closing comments to these Ephesians. He says, "Grace be with all them that," he doesn't just say grace be with everybody, nor does he say, "Grace be with everybody that loves Jesus." Rather, he says this, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Now, let me suggest to you tonight that if this text had been written today and written by the vast majority of preachers and teachers in our society today, let me just suggest that two words in this text would not be included. And the reason that they would not be included is that today, in most people's estimation, these two words don't really matter anymore. Matter of fact, today they're rather annoying and divisive in the world of Christendom. They are completely irrelevant to them. So, Pastor, what are those two words? They are the words, you'll notice there, "in sincerity." Let's read it again. "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ," here it is, "in sincerity." Paul is reminding us here that there may be a lot of folks who, quote, love our Lord Jesus Christ, but there are only so many who actually love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So that, you know what, to Paul, it wasn't enough to say, "Grace be with everybody." It wasn't enough to say, "Grace be with everybody who loves Jesus." Or, "If you love Jesus, it's good enough for me," or, "Anybody that loves Jesus in word is equal to those who also love the Lord Jesus indeed." Not with Paul. The benediction, the blessing here, if you will, is to all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, what? In sincerity. And again, this presents an obvious reminder tonight that you can love the Lord Jesus apparently without sincerity, which is another way of saying you can love Jesus without truly loving Jesus. So not everybody who says or who sings, "I love Jesus," truly, really loves him. You know, it's funny because you say, "Well, I don't know about that, Pastor." You know, we recognize that not all men who say, "I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my country," we know that not all men who say they love all of these really do. We immediately question the love of a husband who is abusive, and we should. You have the right to. But when a Christian is unfaithful to Christ and one questions their love for Christ, well, suddenly they're judgmental or they're very unfair, as if all you really have to do is just say it or sing it, "I love Jesus," and so on, and it's automatically true. For Paul, in this text, that wasn't the case. Paul assumed that some would love Christ, speak about loving Christ, without loving him in sincerity. So that brings us to this great, great text you're all familiar with in Ephesians 6. Because, folks, if there's ever an example of sincere or true or real love, if there's a test, it begins with something that Paul describes earlier in this chapter. Look at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word finally tells us this entire section from here to the end summarizes his last and final admonition. All the admonitions conclude again, therefore, with the benediction of verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now the question is this. Who are those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, quote, in sincerity? Because I certainly want to be included in that group. Well, you know what? An answer to that, the text states over and over again, these wonderful truths is that a Christian who loves Christ in sincerity is willing to do one basic thing. Take stand. Look at the repetition, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that be able to stand against. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Now let me say this. Before we get to what it means to take a stand or to stand, because it's repeated over and over again, and thus love Christ in sincerity, I'm sure you've noticed that every piece of the battle gear, if you will, every piece of the Christian's armor described in this text is protective in nature, maybe even defensive. Every piece except for one. There's the breastplate of righteousness. There's the helmet of salvation. There's the shield of faith. There's the armor of the truth of the gospel that shod the feet and gird the loins. All of these, again, are protective weapons, if you will, except for one, and that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And so the command to the soldier in Ephesians 6 is crystal clear. The command is to stand. And by the way, that is in perfect harmony with what the Scripture teaches about the nature of our battle. Because note this carefully. Follow this, because you're in a battle. The Bible doesn't tell us to go out and look for a fight. Look for temptation. It says to flee temptation and youthful lust. It says resist the devil and he will flee from you. James says that. Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing as witnesses, if we love Christ in sincerity and athletes and ambassadors and overcomers and all the things we are called, you don't have to look for a battle. Every single day the battle is going to come right to you. We're already in enemy territory, are we not? We're ambassadors for Christ. So the Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer some form of persecution. So again, the question concerning our calling as soldiers of Christ isn't a question of whether we're soldiers or whether we're in a battle or whether or not you've been enlisted. The truth of the matter is you were enlisted the day that you got saved. You're a soldier of Christ. The question is, are you obeying the directive of your commander? Do you love? If ye love me, Jesus said, ye will obey my commandments. He's speaking as a master, as a general, as a director. Are you standing? And therefore, loving the master, quote, in sincerity. You see, look, there are a lot of churches in America. There are a lot of professing Christians in our society today. In this evil day, verse 13, a lot of people say, I love Jesus. They have bumper stickers. They have songs and choruses and so on, pendants, whatever. The problem is there aren't that many Christians who prove that love and that sincerity of that love by taking a stand. Think about all the people that you know in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, your acquaintances, other churches, this church, anywhere and everywhere, that claim they love the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually take a stand. So what does it mean? Well, I want you to picture in your mind for a moment a battlefield. Standing in that battlefield is a soldier who is commanded to take his stand. Now that means he's not to give ground. He's not to go backward at all. He's not to surrender. Instead, he's commanded to stand, to earnestly contend for the faith. And the good news is everything that that soldier needs in order to stand his ground is provided by God for him. His helmet, as we read here, the breastplate, the shield, the sword, the armor for the legs and the feet. He is completely protected and defensible, but only from the front. Because you'll notice, ladies and gentlemen, that this soldier here, described in Ephesians 6 in this famous text, he has nothing described, not one single thing, to protect his back. And why? Because there's no need for it. There's no need for a back plate or a back shield because the soldier has a guaranteed victory. All he has to do is don't turn around and go the wrong way, don't surrender, but continue facing the battle and taking a stand. What does verse 10 say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not your might. It's not the soldier's might or the soldier's power or the soldier's strength. It's all of God, as a matter of fact. Verse 11 says, look at it, put on the whole armor of God. Even the armor is of God. So that again, victory or defeat is never in question for the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, look at it. Ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. All of them, not most of them, not 99 out of 100, not 999 out of 1,000, every single one. He said, then, Pastor, why are there so many casualties in this spiritual warfare? Why are the Christians who doubt and who are pierced apart and have many sorrows and so on? In short, they love God. And many of them loved them for a long time, but somewhere they didn't stand. They turned away. There's no promise for protection on the backside, as we've noted. I'm talking to believers tonight, myself included. God has provided for all of us here tonight all we need in our spiritual warfare. But God has one directive for us, and that is as a soldier to stand. Just stand. Which brings us to this, because if we're going to have Christian soldiers in this warfare who know what it is to stand and to love Christ in sincerity, not just sing about it or talk about it or have bumper stickers about it, but to love Him in sincerity, who withstand in the evil day, who having done all stand, who are able to stand, these are all repeated right here in the text. If we are able to remain standing in the midst of this battle when the smoke clears, obviously we need to know what it means to stand. He's not a physical standing because this is not our warfare is not carnal. It's not a physical warfare. So obviously we need to know what it means to stand. What do we do exactly? To become faithful, loving Christ in sincerity, faithful soldiers who stand. You'll notice three things mentioned in the text that prove our sincerity. The first one is standing soldiers, number one, stand against something. Look at it, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand, to stand against. Against the wiles. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand. Withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. In other words, folks, look. The first question regarding your standing as a soldier is this. What do you stand against? Now look. Go to a soldier in World War II standing in the front lines of the European theater, and you ask that young man from the Allied forces what he's against. You're out here, it's 1942, 43, and you're standing, you're fighting. What are you against? You know that soldier won't hesitate in that war. He'll say, I'm fighting because I'm fighting against Nazism, against fascism, against tyranny, against Hitler. That soldier is standing against something, and because of that, he and thousands of others were willing to give their lives. On the other hand, ask the average Christian today who's described in the Bible as a soldier, ask them what they're against in their warfare, and it's very possible they don't even know. Or even worse, these days, they don't want to know. They even say, well, you know, as a Christian, you know, I just don't think you should be against anything. Christians should be known for their negatives. I don't think we should fight for negatives. We should just love Jesus. Well, I'll remind you that God is against a lot of things. And so to love God means that you too are against the things that He's against. But negatives. You know, God said, thou shalt not. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not. That's something you're not supposed to do. Verse 6, not with eye service. That's something you're not supposed to do. Verse 7, goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men. That's something you're not supposed to do. Now, I just threw out three verses in one chapter, all negative commands, declaring what God is against, and the entire New Testament is filled with one after another. You would have to get rid of all of the epistles in the New Testament if you were to come up with some sort of modern Christianity where there are no negatives. A good soldier of Christ standing as the text commands, they find out what their commander that they love is against, and they're against those things as well. That's how you love Christ in sincerity. You see, the reason why believers don't withstand in the evil day is because they don't stand against the evil in the evil day. A good soldier has to stand against something. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me ask you what you're against tonight. Let me ask you a better question. What are you willing to stand against? Oh, I love Jesus. What are you willing to stand against in your love for Christ? I saw a bumper sticker yesterday that I've never seen before that quite nearly took my breath away. All it said was, abortion. Had a semicolon. It said, abortion, one dead, one wounded. I looked at that and I thought about that, and I could tell on the right-hand side someone had come along and tried to peel it off. Undoubtedly, because they were angry, they were offended at the message. One dead, one wounded. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes being against something causes a lot of folks to be very angry. And the world and evil, the evil day, is telling you, look, just quiet down. Don't be so against stuff. Why do you want to be against same-sex marriage? Why are you against love? Why are you against a woman's privacy? There will be people that will be very angry if you're against anything. But so be it. You know, people who love the United States of America in sincerity. I read a lot of these pundits. Probably shouldn't. And I love the way they talk about how they love America as much as this guy and that guy while they're tearing down America. People who love the United States in sincerity, they're against things that would destroy America. They're against fascism. They're against Sharia law. They're against communism. People who love the United States of America with insincerity, they're not against any of those. Have you noticed? They just think we should love anybody and everybody. Any soldier that endures hardness and remains faithful in the battle and loves Christ will make a stand and take a stand against the enemies of Christ. There has been a long war against God. And when there is a war, you must take sides. You know, they did not crucify and persecute the Lord Jesus because he was ambivalent about evil and about Satan. They came to realize the Lord Jesus Christ was against the things they were doing and who they were. And the Lord Jesus took a stand against. He made a whip on one occasion because of what they were doing. And he stood against what they were doing. One of the great hallmarks of liberalism is their indifference toward evil. Even their refusal to call evil, evil. Their refusal to label something exactly what it is. If it's an evil attack, they will call it a tragedy. Even though it's evil. Their very favorite word, as we all know, is the word tolerant or tolerance. And the only thing they don't tolerate, as you know, is intolerance, what they call. So that if anybody takes a stand against anything, you're automatically disparaged. But I'm telling you tonight that a soldier of Christ must take a stand against some things. And I cannot talk about my love for the Lord Jesus Christ if I don't stand against the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked with a man not long ago, told me that we were talking about Christianity. He said, love, quote, is the essence of Christianity. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know, he's right, but you've got to read 1 Corinthians 13, what love does and doesn't do, because love has to be pure. If it's pure, 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. The big news this week out of the Vatican is that two prominent televangelists, Kenneth Copeland and James Robison, had a private meeting with the Pope and said, James Robinson, quote, "I'm fighting back tears even as I write. So glorious was the manifest presence of Jesus with the Pope. God wants to put his arms around the world. The world is suffering, and we Christians have too much love to share without fighting one another." And it goes on, defending, glorifying what they were doing. Now, first of all, those arms that God wants to put around the world, he did that once, and the world crucified and pierced those arms. Secondly, the reason why people are suffering, you know, he said the world is suffering, it's not because religions haven't joined hands in harmony. Read the book of Revelation to find out what's going to happen in the world when all the religions join hands in harmony. The suffering is because the world is populated with sinners. And what sinners need is the gospel, the pure gospel, not more religion. And thirdly, the presence of Jesus manifest isn't more manifest because of a man being in a company because they wear a certain robe, or even three men because of their following. God will not share his glory with a man. I can tell you where the presence of Jesus is manifest. He said the presence of Jesus was so manifest more than ever in that meeting. I can tell you where it's manifest. Verse 24, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. A little insignificant gathering of devout believers in Myanmar with Zam. Jesus is manifest there. That little Bible-believing church in Iowa, that remote village in China where a few Christians gather together. Christ is manifest there. Not necessarily in the glory of Rome. It brings us to the second issue in the text, and that is the fact that a child of God who loves God will also stand for something. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel. And it's the gospel of peace. Now, if you go back again to that soldier in the Second World War I mentioned, the one that was against fascism, the one that was against tyranny, and ask him this question. Ask him, what are you fighting for? He's already told you what he's against. What are you fighting for? And you know what? Again, he will answer without hesitation. He is fighting for freedom. He's fighting for justice. He's fighting for his country. He's fighting for liberty. He's fighting for his family back home, so that just as surely as that soldier knew what he was standing against, he also knows and knew what he was standing for. And I ask you again this question. You love Jesus. Do you love him in sincerity? So that as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you tonight standing for in the evil day? In other words, what motivates you? Why are you here tonight? What is it that you believe in? What are the convictions of your heart and soul? Don't ever go to battle against an enemy unless you know what you're fighting for. And if any soldier, beloved, can rejoice on those merits, you can mark it down. Those of us who are children of God here can rejoice. Because listen, Paul says that we are to stand for the truth. What do we read? Righteousness, for the gospel, and for the Lord Jesus himself. You have a calling. You have an opportunity to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I had an uncle who told me, he'd come and stay with us for 2 weeks in the fall, 2 weeks in the spring. He was eccentric, very eccentric. And he'd come and stay with us, and when he did, he'd always teach me, I was in grade school, teach me how to fight. That was his thing. Jimmy, come here, I want to teach you how to fight. And he told me, for example, he said, always, always have a roll of quarters or a rock in your hand before you hit someone. I remember he told me the greatest advantage of any fighter is the element of surprise, which basically meant walk up behind the guy with a roll of quarters in your hand. He told me a lot of things, none of which were very appropriate, but I remember one thing in particular he told me after. It's interesting because my mother to this day will tell you that she's angry with him for this, but one time he told me something after I had gotten in a fight. He was staying with us. Sure enough, I got in a fight that week. Every time he came to stay with us, I got in a fight. He got me riled up. I came home with a fight. I was battered and worn. Uncle Herman was his name. Uncle Herman said, what were you fighting about? He was excited. I said, I don't know. I was too embarrassed to tell him it was about a girl. You know, I'll never forget, he grabbed my shirt and he pulled me to his face. He said, son, don't ever get into a fight, ever, unless you've got something worth fighting for. He thought I was just fighting to fight. That was the only really good advice that he ever gave me. You know something? It highlights the reason why we as Christians should stand. Because everything that we are told to contend for is worth contending for. If you love Christ tonight, of course, you will fight. Stand therefore. He says, having your loins girt about with what? The truth. This is the truth. This is worth fighting for. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I thank God tonight, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to stand for the things that politicians and cults and so-called scientists. I'm glad I'm not on a crusade about global warming or some such thing. Or some false religion. Thank God that you have the calling to stand for the truth, the real truth, the eternal truth. Think about that. You and I, as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, have the right things to stand for. We have the right things to stand against. And then number three, we can stand because we have the right person to stand with. Look at what it says, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now hear this and I'll close. I love what Paul says. He says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in sincerity, in other words, here's this spiritual army, if you will. It is an army of vastly different people with one great common denominator. We love the captain of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading the story about a soldier in Patton's army. He was a young man who was shell-shocked, full of fear. It just so happened that General Patton himself was in his vicinity. He was in the vicinity of hundreds of shell-shocked soldiers, obviously. And when the soldiers came to a river, this terrified boy just couldn't get himself to cross the river. He stood on the bank, refusing, really, out of fear to go across. General Patton pulled up, noticed something going on, was told about it in his Jeep. He discovered the problem, and everyone naturally thought that Patton would rail on the soldier for being a coward because he had done that in the past. He even slapped a soldier once and was reprimanded for it. But on this occasion, instead, he told the soldier to follow him. Stepping out of the Jeep, he walked with the boy across the waters that were mine-infested. I remember reading that and thinking, that's an encouraging, that's an inspiring story. But my leader has done something infinitely greater. Because our captain has taken on the enemy already. He's already defeated the enemy according to the Bible. And now he is standing by our side and commands us to stand for him. I'll say it again. We have everything to stand for. We have all the right things to stand against. And best of all, we have the right person to stand with. This is not a Jesus of the world's making. This is not the Jesus that the religions of the world have invented. This is our Lord Jesus Christ and God his Father. Four times in this one passage, the Bible says the same thing. Stand. Four times. Withstand. And you know what? There is no reason that we cannot say what Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And there is no reason why we cannot say that we love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Those words in sincerity mean that you'll take a stand. Someone once said, if you don't stand for anything, then you'll fall for everything. Take a stand for the things that God has called us to take. It says what? Withstand in the evil day. I've got news for you. Here's an announcement. This is an evil day. And God is calling people who love Jesus sincerely to take a stand for him, for his word, for his truth, and against the evil of the evil day. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful tonight for your word. And We are thankful, Father, that there was a time when the Holy Spirit of God convicted us of our sin when we were lost and we were enemies of Christ and the gospel. And that in that conviction, we recognized our need for a Savior and we put our faith in Jesus Christ and you saved us. The Holy Spirit, we were regenerated. And we are thankful tonight, Father, that at that very instant, in that moment, we were enlisted as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that in this battle, we will stand for all the glorious, righteous, wonderful, blessed things that accompany salvation. I pray that you'll help us, dear God, as a New Testament church, as individual Christians, that we will stand against the wiles and against the evil of this evil day. And please, Father, give us the grace and the strength, as so many millions before us have done, some giving their lives, to stand with our Lord and Savior, holding high His name and not compromising His gospel. Bless your people to that end. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Greet our visitors.